Hello and welcome once again to another edition of the Flag Hunters Golf Podcast. I am your host of the Flag Hunters Podcast, and this week we have a co-host by the name of Justin Tang from the Tanamera Golf Club in Singapore, who everyone who is a frequent listener to the podcast is very familiar with. Justin, being one of the bright young minds in the instructional part of our lovely game, one of the better coaches in all of Asia. You can always reach Justin on Instagram, easiest at Elite Golf Swing. This week, Women's U.S. Open Week, July 2023. Here we are this week. We have, for the first time in history, the women playing the U.S. Open at the famous Pebble Beach Golf Links. Pebble, by the way, looks incredible. It's the best I have ever seen it look in my life. I've been fortunate enough to play Pebble and be on that great golf course for a long time, and it looks spectacular. It's going to be an incredible test for the ladies, and I'm sure that the champion will be undoubtedly well-deserving. And speaking of champions this week, Justin's and mine guest is a lady by the name of Susie Myers. Susie hails from Tucson, Arizona. She is a top 100 instructor. She has a published book called From Point A. Some of her accolades include: she was on the U of A University of Arizona golf team. She was the 2013 Southwest Section chapter teacher, and she won the women's chapter in 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, and 2016. She's far too humble to mention the names that she's worked with, but she has worked with some of the world's best on the PGA, LPGA, Canadian Symetra Tours, as long as many collegiate golfers. She's a good one, folks. She's definitely going to be on. I really enjoyed this conversation. I think that you're going to find it very insightful. And what's interesting about great teachers, what I found thus far in this journey, is they don't necessarily so much pinpoint the golf swing all the time. An adept teacher will find some of the thoughts behind or before you make a golf swing, especially on the golf course, that might trip you up, might not have anything to do with your golf swing. And Susie epitomizes that. She undoubtedly knows the swing motion like the back of her hand, but she's also quick to reiterate some of the finer points of the mental game. And that's highlighted in her book, Point A. It's just Point A, folks. And what that means is that it's being in the present moment, constantly redirecting yourself back into the present moment. And however, whatever modality you choose to practice that in, I do it via meditation. Other people may do it another way, but it's undoubtedly the best way to express in the moment the best that you have in that particular moment. And also to accept that this is it's not a perfect game and we're not perfect people, but to accept what's happening, and we just go right back to point A and play from there. Enjoy this episode, folks. I sure did. I'm a big fan of Susie. You can find her easiest on her website, and it's called Susie Myers Golf. You can find Justin, as I mentioned before, at Elite Golf Swing, easiest on Instagram. And you can find me, easiest, on Instagram at Flag Hunters Golf Pod. All one word, Flag Hunters Golf Pod. And I always forget to do this, but I'm not going to forget to do it this week. Please rate, review, and hit that subscribe button. It helps me out. Or I think Apple just says follow. So hit that plus follow button if you're an Apple listener, and have a good week, folks. It's going to be a great 4th of July week, absolutely perfectly pairing with the Women's Open. Good luck to all the ladies out there. Good luck to my friend Lydia Coe. I'm sure that her and her husband are going to be enjoying Pebble Beach this week, and she undoubtedly is one of the favorites, as she can flat play, as I've personally seen. And all you all know. Cheers, everyone. Have a great week. Keep them straight. Stay in the moment and play from point A. That book, by the way, that book is available on Amazon. Point A, Susie Myers, Highly recommend. I have it. It's wonderful, and it'll undoubtedly help your game. Cheers, everyone. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Flag Hunters Golf Podcast. I am your host, Jesse Perryman, along with my occasional co-host when I can pull him off the lesson tee. His name is Justin Tang, and he is at the Tanamera Golf Club in Singapore. And our mutual guest today is a lady that is a top 100 teacher. She's based in Tucson, Arizona, a University of Arizona graduate, and her name is Susie Myers. Susie, thanks for coming on.
Jesse, thank you so much for inviting me. Justin, I'm excited to have a conversation with both of you. Golf is so complex. You can go anywhere and you can dive as deep as you want. So where are we going?
Thanks, Susie. You said golf is complex, but at the same time, it's a simple game because the ball's not moving.
Well, we'd like to think that it's simple, and it is simple. But when I say golf is complex, I kind of go like with the Bible. You can dive into the Bible and you have to study, you know, the time that it was written in, the language it was written in, all of these things. And people have studied their whole life in doing that. But if you were just to say God is love, and if you love, then you're doing the Bible, and then it can be very simple. So golf is complex, and yet when we want to play it and when the way that we want to think about it is very simple. It's really played one shot at a time. And I used to think I knew what that was until I really didn't know, because I was like, well, of course you're only going to play one shot at a time. That's the only shot that you can hit. I didn't realize that many people are carrying a lot of, I call it baggage from their past, and the baggage and anxieties of the future. So they're not really playing one shot at a time. They're trying to connect all their shots, trying to make things happen, trying to make a score happen. And that's very different.
I like what you mentioned about interpreting the Bible. There's a field of study called hermeneutics. And I think a lot of instructors would benefit from learning that, which basically is putting things in its context when they interpret what a good golfer is telling them that they're doing. So some golfers may say, hey, just using my hands, I'm just using my body. It's correct to them, but contextually, what does it actually mean? So that's where I think the understanding of the mind comes into play. And this is what you're going to tell our listeners.
Well, that's exactly right. But as you know, because this is the way that you two think, it is very holistic. It's the mind body. It is not one separate from the other. They're totally related to each other. And how do you get your body to move the way you want it to move for this golf stroke that is happening in 1 second's time? And we have so much, so many instructors that are diving deep into exactly how the golf swing works. And I'm actually very thankful for them, because they do the research and they can figure stuff out. And then the people that present it to the golfer, they have to make it, as you said, contextual, so that the golfer can understand it for them. That's all we should care about. We are there for the golfer in front of us. We are not there to tell them all the information that we have.
Yeah. Speaking of advances in modern technology, I kind of feel that there are no more secrets in the golf swing. However, the dark side to it is one can be too dogmatic about teaching and simply paint by numbers. Do you feel that's the case?
Well, I think you can find that anywhere. So I think there's a lot of like instructors that coach that way. And there are people, golfers, that like that stuff. That's what they want to learn. So, there's something for everyone. And, but the players that are playing at the highest level, they want to go to someone that knows it, the golf swing so well that they can find that little sliver, that needle in the haystack that will help them. But it has to be presented so that the golfer assimilates it into into who they are very, very quickly and very, very simply. So, you know, it's everywhere. You can go dive too deep in either one. Golf is totally mental because you can't do anything without your mind thinking about doing it first. When I say I'm going to go to the store and get the salmon and cook the salmon, I could be talking on the phone the whole time, but my mind painted that picture and I go and do it. So it's a whole holistic thing, both ways.
So you talked about the little sliver needle in the haystack. I took a cursory glance at the PGA Tour stats. So I think in the past, call it 20 years, the tour average has gone down 2%. Yet the average driving distance has increased something like 23%. What do you think about that with all the advances in technology?
Well, I think it's interesting. But in all honesty, if we talk about tour players, we're talking about the elite that yes, I've coached tour players. Yes, I was a tour player. But we have a whole lot of people out there that just want to play golf and enjoy it. So when you say that, it doesn't mean anything to me. I don't really care about that. I really want people to play golf and enjoy their experience. And that is at the highest level. So when we talk about a tour player, if they're playing in peace, in a clear state of mind, with no stress, they're going to find their best potential. And that's what we really want. Whether they're hitting it forever or they're not hitting it forever, it's golf. It's a game.
So let's get back to golf being a game. How did you get started in the game?
Well, I didn't start playing till I was 14, and I was never a great ball striker or anything like that. I just could get the ball in the hole. I ended up being an All-American at U of A, University of Arizona. Then I played on the mini tour, and I was the top player on the mini tour. I won 5 tournaments in 1 year, and then I finally got on the big tour, and I was really too small to play out there because at that time we weren't working out. We didn't know about speed and things like that. And so I played at the highest level there. And then when I got off the tour, I went back east in Westchester County and was going to coach for the summer. And that's when Mike Hebron said, you know, come spend some time with me. And I gave my first lesson and I said, whoa, I found out what I want to do the rest of my life. Golf is such a selfish game at playing at that high level that once I started coaching, I realized I had stuff to give to others. And that's really what my nature is. I am into my golfers in front of me. That's the most important thing when I step out onto the golf course. It's not about my game anymore. It's about learning so many things about the golf swing, about the mind, about emotional control, so that players in front of me can play better. And whether they're 10, whether they're 15, whether they're a tour player, whether they're 70 years old and just taking up the game. I love golf. I think it's the greatest game in the world because anybody can play. But what I have found is when people play golf from point A, may I explain point A?
Yeah, sure.
So many people think that we play golf from point A to B to C to D. We try to connect our shots together to create our score. And what happens is when a shot doesn't turn out the way we want to and it gets us into trouble, we start to panic because it's not going our way. We obsess on why did it go wrong? How do I fix it? I don't want that to happen again. And then when I get to my ball, I realize I'm really in trouble. My score that I wanted isn't going to happen. And I get very anxious about the future. So at that point in time, everything is out of homeostasis. It's out of balance. And we try to make the shot, but we're afraid we're going to do what we just did, or we're afraid we're not going to create the next shot, or we're trying to make up for a shot. And all of that mental anguish affects the way our body moves. So now it starts to spiral, and it can really spiral and go down quickly. But when you play golf from point A, at point A, there is no past. A, there is no other letter that but A at the beginning. And we don't play to point B. We just make our golf stroke the best we can in that moment, and the ball goes somewhere. And in actuality, every shot is a surprise. And everybody laughs. Oh, yeah, my shots are always a surprise. But I'm saying that Rory McIlroy's shots are a surprise. Justin Thomas's shots are a surprise. When they're good, they're pleasant surprises. But they also hit bad shots, shots that they didn't plan on. And that's a surprise because we cannot control the golf swing. And when you are trying to control something that's uncontrollable, that's when frustration comes in. So that's why if you understand what you can control and can't control, then you can more easily play golf from point A. Again, wherever the ball is, you start at point A. There is no past. There is no future. Again, we make our golf stroke. The ball goes somewhere. Wherever it goes, we start again at point A. We take in information. We do our process. We create our picture. We make our best move, and the ball goes somewhere. And once we can accept that we are human, which is a Mike Hebron statement, human when we mess up, because all humans mess up, then that acceptance level keeps our mind from going down the rabbit hole of what did I do wrong. We accept it and we move on. So golf from point A is a way to help yourself stay in a state of being that brings out your best potential.
I call it playing golf with grace, being kind to yourself when you make mistakes. It's basically the prayer of serendipity.
I love it. I love it. But how many people, when they decide to go and play golf, are saying, okay, I want to break 90 today. I want to hit fairways and greens. These are my goals. They don't go out saying, okay, I'm going to play in grace. I'm going to play in the prayer of serendipity. That's not the way they go out to play. So their goals are trying to be controlled, something that's uncontrollable. My question that I ask my students is not how are you going to play today, but who are you going to be today as you play the game? And when you can define yourself that I'm going to be playing at point A, there is no past, there is no future. I'm going to play in a state of grace. I love that. That's fabulous. I'm going to be committed on every shot. I'm going to create a picture on every shot. Now you have some defined ideas that you can actually control. And that's what the tour players are doing, is they're trying to control the controllables and allow the uncontrollables to happen and keep them to the minimum, but they have no control over them.
Yeah, this is what I tell guys, right? Staying the present means, first of all, recognizing that, staying in the present means recognizing before you even tee off on the first tee that golf is a series of 18 unrelated events or even 72 unrelated events. You could hit a great drive off the first tee, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee a birdie. You can slice your ball into the woods, but that doesn't mean you're going to make a double bogey. And sometimes we surprise ourselves. We're in the woods, we carve out a beautiful little trouble shot, and then it ends up next to the hole. We make a birdie, we go like, oh, what just happened there? And I think the mindset is, oh, let's get going. Let's focus now. Let's get ourselves into the mix. And then very often it just goes down the tube from there because we try to control the uncontrollables.
And this is why when I learned about the concept of point A, like consciously thought about it and put a word to it, it helped me so much more than saying I'm going to play in the present. I didn't know what playing in the present meant. I felt like I had been. But when you actually say point A is a brand new beginning. There is no past. It doesn't matter how the ball got here. It doesn't matter if it was your best shot, if it was your worst shot. It doesn't matter. When you're at the brand new beginning, you You do your process and you have no future to go to. You're not trying to get it to point B. The reason you have a target is so that you can create a picture that your body will then move to, but you have no control of how it's going to do. That's why when you are playing golf from point A, you are the freest because you have no baggage from the past and you're not in the trying state of, oh, let's go, let's make some birdies. That thought right there is in the future. You can ask every golfer that's ever played and they'll say, yeah, when I got to this hole, I said, geez, if I just par in, I'll have this score. Well, that's not a point A thought. That's already thinking about the future. And it is amazing how that changes the whole being state that you are in, just that one thought. So the training and the discipline is to stay at point A until the last putt is holed, which might not even be the last putt of the 72 hole tournament. Now, I was coaching a young player that had just worked with Point A. He went out on tour. He was in the final group on the final day. And we were talking and he said, well, this is going to be my game plan. When I get nervous, I just take a deep breath. And then I want to work on my putting stroke, that it keep it smooth. And I said, no, your only plan is to stay at Point A. And if you get in a playoff, stay at Point A. Talk to people, be nice. Don't think about the future. Stay at point A. Sure enough, he gets in a playoff. Sure enough, he goes back to the 18th hole. He hit a 5-iron in the last regulation hole. He had a 3-iron in the playoff. Now, most people would say, what went wrong? He didn't care. He just hit the ball onto the green. He two-putted. He walked off. He said, I would not have won without the thought of point A, because I was not thinking in the future ever. Fascinating.
Indeed. And I think this is representative of the culture we are in. A lot of people talk about multitasking. Most people have, I guess, two phones. They've got an iPad. And we are so easily distracted that we can't stay in the present. And I think this affects all facets of our life. So someone sends you a text message, before you fully comprehend what that person is saying, you are already time traveling to the future. Oh, I'm going to get him, I'm going to get her, I'm going to say this and that. And then when you actually meet the person, you realize that your interpretation of the situation was not what you thought it was. And that's so similar to golf. You think that you're going to do X, Y, Z for the next shot. Actually, you realize, hey, jumping the gun a little bit here. I should be doing this instead. This is not the most practical choice of clubs, for example.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And our culture in today's fast-paced world has trained us to do that. And my comment to that is we are living in different times and we now have to focus or put attention on our mind and how to quiet it. We didn't used to have to do that, you know, because there wasn't that much stimuli coming in. But in today's world, the stimuli that's coming into one person makes our brain almost like, I'm not going to say it, but it's too much. There's too much activity. So you as the universal person has to actually work at quieting yourself. And you have to understand that you can quiet yourself. Even today, I was driving along in my car and I thought, you know, what if I was growing up in the days of the cowboys and I had a homestead and I'm out doing things very simply? They were very much at peace. Does that make sense? They didn't have that much stimuli. And I thought, I'm just going to take a lot of this stimuli away about, oh, I have to do this. I have to do that. I want to be more like this. I wanted this. I have to learn this and just calm myself and get much simpler. And I think the days of doing that, it's not so easy to do that. And our children are growing up in that. And we have to teach them. They have to learn how to quiet themselves because it's not fun to live in that over anxious world.
Indeed. Let's talk a little bit about one of your key tenets, which is using the Socratic method. I think the current model of prescriptive coaching is broken. Most people show up on my lesson T, you almost feel like do A, B, and C. I think there's very little time spent in asking the student, what do you actually understand? What do you think I'm trying to tell you? And that's just the structure of our teaching systems, the country club system, I guess.
Well, I'm very fortunate because as you have hung out with Michael Hebron, but the idea of coaching, everybody has their own style because we all have past experiences that are different. And certain coaches have affected our games. So, but for me, I have always felt that the student is the most important, and to ask them all of the questions, and I do it sincerely. What do you want? Now, that's the funniest thing, because I've asked every single student every time they come, even if they come every week, what do you want? And in the very first lesson, they don't say it after their first lesson, but in the first lesson, every single person wants a consistent swing. So then you go into why they don't want to be consistent. And you know what's interesting, and I don't know very much about this, so I kind of do the gist on this, but this whoop thing that the kids are wearing or the athletes are wearing that talk about the variable heart rate. Now, I always thought you wanted a consistent heart rate, but they want a variable heart rate because it allows your heart to be flexible. And I found that very interesting. That's really what we want our golfers to be, is flexible, creative. And we want them to realize that the shot at hand, the golf course, the environment is what's going to give them the cues to what you want to do. But you're not going to hit your 7-iron stock golf swing from the driving range. How many times do you do that golf swing on the golf course? Very, very few times. And in fact, one time, well, today I hit an 8-iron off of a par 3 and I go, wow, this is kind of a stock 8-iron. And I was kind of shocked because I like hardly ever get a stock shot, you know? Everything's always a little bit creative. The lot, mine was on a tee, so that was nice. And everything is so variable, and we need to be flexible, flowing, and allowing. This state of allowing ourselves. So in my book, I write about 5 principles on the golf swing. My book took me so long to write because I had so much information, but I was trying to pare it down to the essence of it and not all the details. And I came up with 5 things that I have coached for over 30 years, and I've coached it from the beginner to the tour player. And it has never messed anyone up. It has always been a benefit to every single level of player. And the first one is that the golf stroke has a beginning and an ending and nothing in the middle. And our golf instruction has put 20 different things in the middle of our golf swing. And that's what clogs up the brain. And so if we can get our students to realize that, yes, you can have a picture of a draw or a picture of a hitting a high shot, but you have trained it. You have a beginning and an ending and nothing in the middle. And you want to move that way. Even the beginner can do this. And it's so important to allow them to not play parts and pieces. And the second universal truth is to feel the weight of the club, because every club has a different purpose, a different weight, a different length, a different lie, all these differences. And if you understand your tool and you can feel it, your subconscious can then put that move relative to what the golf course is asking of you. And so the other three are awesome ideas also. But if you could play golf in those 2 ideas and stop thinking of all the details, I think people would play in a lot more freedom-based and flexible-based mindset.
I like what you said about the positions in the golf swing. I can't remember who said it, but there are only 2 positions in a golf swing, the start and the end. Everything else is in dynamic motion.
Totally.
Yet humans seem to have this incredible ability to split hairs about the different positions at a golf swing. Ask one instructor, he will say there's 10 positions. Another one says there's only four. But the golf swing is a swing. It's in motion. So it's always baffling to think that instructors want you to almost master all these individual positions and then put it together in one motion. I've always found that very ironic, because growing up playing other sports, that's never the case.
It's never the case. And it's not the way humans operate. And so we have to realize we are not teaching golf. We are teaching humans. And that's why I've studied so hard about how the brain works, how people learn things, how people learn motor skills, how memory is important, how past experiences dictate everything, how your point of view about where you stand right where you are dictates everything. You can sit there and think, I can't make this move. It's just impossible today. Well, then it's impossible. People talk about having confidence, Justin, and that is one word I just don't really go into, because confidence, you can gain it and you can lose it. And my idea is that I don't want to lose my confidence, and I don't want to gain confidence, because then I'm like, well, when am I going to lose it? I talk about having a faith in myself. And a faith happens when we don't clog up our system and we can really feel the weight of the golf club swinging in a full motion, beginning and ending and nothing in the middle. And even if I miss five shots, I don't lose the faith in myself. I just keep with the same idea, and my body will figure it out as I get calmer instead of riled up about why it's not working and how am I going to get this to work. So the way that we approach the game and our perspective from shot to shot greatly affects how we move.
I love what you said about confidence. I personally never lose confidence when I'm using my hammer to drive nails into wood. But why is it a lot of people think, hey, you know, I blocked my first tee shot off the tee. And then they start calling themselves names. And then they start labeling the shot as good or bad. And then the brain doesn't have anything concrete to work with. Okay, if it's a bad shot, like there are no parameters being described. But if you go, the shot started 20 yards to the right, and then it went 5 yards to the right further, you kind of feel that, oh, that's something that the brain can work with. And I like what you said about your book in terms of freeing your mind. I think we could talk for an hour just about that concept. A lot of golfers come to the lesson tee, they're like, coach, I want to look like Adam Scott. I want to look like David Love. But then you're built like Ian Woosnam.
Yeah.
So like, how does that work? And it's having this preconceived notion about what a golf swing is. And we could take that further about how to play the game of golf on the golf course when your mind is not free, when you have a preconceived notion about what to do next. And I think that's a real handicap to progress for golfers of all levels.
Well, I agree. But once again, our body moves to pictures. And I was talking to a world-renowned coach, and I said, well, so our job is to help our player create a picture. And he said, well, I hope like heck that you given a more than that. And I thought, I was really put off by that. And I was like, no, we work in pictures, and we have to help our player in front of us create a picture that their body will move to. That's what we do. And making it super simple, I change people's golf swings all the time. People think I'm just a mental coach, but I'm not. It's like, people don't even understand that people like, I know the tour players understand this. I'm not working with tour players every day. They don't understand what it means to go in a circle and have the ball come down off of on a tangent line. They're all trying to control the ball down the line. I'm like, well, that's not the way it works. And they're like, what do you mean? And I said, they understand what this circle is and how the club, the weight of the club does this circle naturally, the ball will go dead straight. And that's they do it. And I go, well, that's how tour players hit it straight. And they had no idea because they've been so clogged up in all these other have to's. Pictures are what our bodies move to. The picture has to be so simple that we can actually do it. That's the goal, the coach's job is to give the player a task that is so easy that they can actually do it. They just don't do it all the time.
And that's the irony of being a good coach. You learn all the complex stuff right at the start of, I guess, your career. And then the art form of coaching is how to simplify the complex.
Well, that's why I said it took me a long time to write my book, because I had so much. But to really put it into the essence and come up with five principles on the golf swing. And my book is almost boring because all I talk about is point A. It's not a book about knowledge about what I know about golf. It's a book to help people realize that this is a concept that if you go out and train your mind to simply be at point A, start over, make your move, accept where it is, go to the ball, start over, make your move, accept where it is, go to the ball, start over, make your move, accept where it is, and do that over and over and over again. So that's your subconscious instead of the details.
And that, in a nutshell, is the game of golf. You almost have to not care to get a good result. And I tell some of
my players, right? Go ahead.
He was relating this to me, like, oh, no, I was bad on the first nine. And I'm like, okay, let's not think about my score. And he goes, I'm so appreciative that I'm out here on the course. I think he shot like a two under and subsequently made the cut. And then I told him, hey, you got to be careful with this thing. You can't go out tomorrow and say, hey, you know what, let's not care. But, oh, no, actually, I really care. You've got to be sincere, as you put it. You're going to be genuine and really understand that this is how the brain works. You can't just try and then kind of look under the hood. Is it working? It's not working. It's not. Yeah. So what I call catching the cat. And I related this story to Jesse many times. You sit here, a cup of coffee, the cat comes, rubs itself against your feet. And then you think, hey, it must be this particular brand of coffee. So you're trying to catch the cat and making things turning it into a formula. It doesn't work that way. But the human mind always wants to create formulas. It always wants a method. And I think this is why a lot of method coaching is so popular these days. I go see this person. He's producing all these good players. I will be one of them. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And I think your book really, really goes right to the heart of progress. It is a must-have book on all instructors' library. That's what I feel.
I really appreciate that. It's I have been living golf from point A in my personal life and in my golf life for over 30 years, and it has made the biggest difference in my life. But when you talk about the mind, and everybody wants a formula, and we think that the formula is going to stay and it's going to work, but we are never the same person 2 days in a row. Now, the one thing that I've been studying a lot of is meditation, as many, many, many people do. And there are so many ways to do it. For different reasons. Some do it for spiritual, some do it for just focus, some do it to create their dreams. There's a million reasons why. But the one thing that I have understood with meditation is that if you meditate for 15 minutes a day for 3 weeks, your emotional control center in your brain actually grows. So being able to meditate every day actually allows this pause button to happen. And the pause button allows when something goes off, whether you've made 5 birdies in a row or 5 bogeys in a row, the meditators are able to take the pause and then react. Whereas before I was meditating, I tended to just react. So I had no emotional stability or, and it is really mind control. It's not allowing your emotions and your mind to go off into these things. Our minds are actually very dramatic and they go off into, oh my gosh, this is going to be the worst thing in the world, you know? And if we have a pause button and we can just say, okay, everything's all right. I accept where I am. I'm going to do the best I can from where I am. That's all I can do. And whatever the score happens to be, it will be. I accept this. And acceptance is one of my big words, because if we don't, we are such judgers of everything. Like you said, the lie is good or the lie is bad. What does that mean? It's as along that line, the ball is sitting down or the ball is sitting up. The ball sitting down, it's going to do this. The ball sitting really high, it's going to do this. It helps us determine what we're going to do next. But there's no goods and bads. And our whole life is based on judgments. That's the way our brain is working. This was another comment, another thing about the brain that I learned that I thought was interesting, is that the brain is not in your body to help you succeed. It's in your body to help keep you alive, period. Your mind helps you succeed, but you have to take control of it. You can't let it just go places. And meditation is the very first way to begin how to keep yourself in a state of being, focusing on your breath. Can I stay focused? Allows a pause button to happen so you can react to whatever situation the way you choose to react.
Everyone should go hear the last 3 minutes of this interview a few times.
Yeah, I'm gonna chime in. I started a meditation practice a couple of years ago, and it's been the single greatest thing I've ever done for my golf game, bar none.
Yes.
There are several times during the course of a round where I don't care how good of a player you are. You could be a tour player. You could be a 30 handicap. If you hit a few four shots in a row, your brain's going to start going, pardon the vernacular here, batshit crazy. And everybody that's listening to this can identify with that. I suck. I'm never going to be good at this game. I try so hard. Whatever rhetoric we tell ourselves. Personally, meditation has allowed me to notice those things without reacting, which has been interesting. All of those thoughts and words and pictures that are negative that go on inside my head after a poor shot or a series of poor shots or a bad hole, I just look at them as if they're clouds in the sky. And, I'm going to add on to what you said, Susie, is that meditation allows you to have a choice in the moment. And that moment is the pause button.
Yes.
That's a big one. I mean, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Tiger Woods, when he was beating everybody mentally, pretty much, he had a 10-foot circle. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this. Justin, I know you have. But he allowed himself 10 feet to respond and react any way his brain wanted him to. And when he got out of that 10-foot circle, it was over. Done. The last shot didn't exist. On to the next. And I thought that was very interesting. And he's mentioned that several times. But that's his interpretation of hitting the pause button and moving forward on to point A. But it's a big one. 15 minutes is all I do also a day.
Yeah,
15-minute meditation.
It doesn't matter really what you do, even if you do it for 5 minutes, if you're a new meditator. It's such a healthy thing. Everybody wants a pill, or everybody wants, the newest thing. But meditation has been around forever. And it's really about acceptance that we are human and that nothing is going to go exactly as planned and we cannot control it. And once we understand that, we can go into our game and into life with a perspective of, I'm just going to do the best with what I have right where I am. And it happens everywhere. I was coaching a family and they had two 10-year-old kids and they were out at a celebration dinner. And the two kids were starting to really act up and the dad had to come down hard on them. And the whole mood of the table just changed. The air went right out of it. And one of the 10-year-olds looked up and said, "Can we have a point A dinner?" And that was like, okay, let's have a new beginning. I understand. I accept it. Now, can we start over? And we always need to be able to start over, because that gives us hope that we can do the best we can with what we have. And meditation is a discipline. And point A is a discipline. And people don't really like that word. I give a little talk about my two dogs, Sadie and Sam. And Sadie's a dog that's just the most lovable, most fluffy thing in the world. Jumps all over you, gets so excited. You just love this dog, the cutest thing in the world. It pees, it gets so excited. And then I have Sam, who sits right next to me. And Sam will not get up to say hello to you until I say release. And then he'll go say hello, and then he'll come back and sit down. And I ask my students, so which one has more freedom? And they go, well, Sadie does. You know, Sadie is just a ball of fun. And I said, oh, yeah, well, Sadie is a ball of fun, but I can't take her out. She stays in the backyard. But Sam goes everywhere with me. And Sam can go to the golf course and he'll sit there and he won't bother anyone because I don't have to worry about him jumping on people. And so discipline allows you to go to places that you can't go until you have some emotional control. And emotional control happens when you can have that pause button and you can choose how to react rather than simply reacting. And I encourage the golfers to have a written script of what they're going to say to themselves when they miss a shot. I'm okay. I can handle this. I'm at point A. Everything's going to be okay. Because if we don't have an anchor, a plan, when we get off of our plan, we have nothing to go to. We're just like out there going, relax, or, you know, get back to point A. But if we have an exact plan, and it changes every day, the words that we use are every day changing, but we need to have an anchor. I'm going to play golf from point A. I'm going to have a beginning and an ending and nothing in the middle. I'm going to have a positive perspective all day and get rid of the past, no judgments. And that's why I think point A is so valuable, because you can actually define it to yourself. You can define what point A means to you that day.
I really like what you said about the gap. Many times people feel emotions and feelings and then they act on it because there's no gap. But when we realize that we are not our emotions and feelings, we don't have to act on it, then I think it's what we call having mastery of the ego. Because the ego says, I will show them who's boss. I want to say nasty things to a person so that I feel good about myself. But when people truly understand the origins of emotions and feelings, then they realize it's just the brain's way of interpreting and predicting how you should feel given the current situation and my storehouse of memories. But when you realize, hey, I don't have to act on it, then I think that's when you start to progress as a person. Your book should really be called Life from Point A. I think there's so many parallels in golf and life. And I think once people live life from point A, they can see everything else in their life start to improve. Their relationships, their golf games, so many things.
Well, we've all been trained to dig into the problem. Tell me what's wrong. I want to fix the problem. And what happens is when we are focused on the problem or the past, we don't realize that we can just let it go. That is the most amazing concept. Just let it go. Really? I don't have to fix it? I don't have to know why I did it? No, just let it go. No, that's not the way it works. I have to dig in and I have to really figure this out. And I have to make sure it never happens again. And that is the way our culture has taught us. But it is an amazing freedom when we can actually let it go. I had a young student that showed up at her work for a training. And she got there and nobody was there. And she was like, where is everybody? They go, the training's tomorrow. And she said that she beat herself up mentally for being so foolish to think that it was today and to show up. And it got to be an emotional thing. And I'm like, just let it go. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody gets lost in the car. Everybody gets a speeding ticket once in a while. Everybody hits a bad shot. Let it go and start over. Have a good perspective about yourself and move forward. Accept it.
Words of wisdom.
Yep. Very well said. Very well said.
I just want to talk. I'm going to try to wrap up here. One question I always like to ask instructors is this. Why are golfers so fixated on technique when they embark down this path of, I want to be a better golfer?
Well, you know, it's actually fun to hit the golf ball well. And that's what brings us all back. We hit that one shot and it's like, oh, that's why I'm here. And the driving ranges are full of people that really do like to just hit golf balls. Okay. And it's peaceful and it's actually absorbing, meaning that when you're making a golf stroke, you're not thinking about what you're having for dinner or what the boss said to you yesterday or your project that you're supposed to be doing. So people get fixated in wanting to feel that again. And because we're always changing as people, we actually need novel ideas about our golf swing. And so it's not terrible to go and get a new idea. That's what keeps us fresh. It's all right. It's the digging into the problems that I think is really harmful. It's looking backwards instead of the solution base. Yeah, you go get a new idea, but don't get new ideas from 10 different coaches, because then it's conflicted. You know, you don't need conflicting. You don't need to get your conscious mind into your game. You really want to make the motion so subconscious and fluid and playing in that state of grace. And so I think who you choose to listen to as an instructor is extremely valuable. And I think that people out there need to do some homework on who they're going to listen to, because you can get really messed up with some of the ideas or the dogma that's out there.
Yeah, I've heard of horror stories when people start to listen to the wrong coaches. I've heard of poor players not being able to break 80 with a new instructor. That's a bit tragic.
It is tragic. I was very fortunate. I coached Michael Thompson for 15 years from the age of 14 to 29. So he had me. And that's what he said is, I don't need other coaches. She helps me with my mental game. She helps me with my golf swing, my short game, my bunker play, my putting. We work on everything. And it was so simple that it kept all of the outside stuff away from him. And he went, finished second in an Open, won a PGA Tour event, you know, got his card, did all these great things by keeping it simple. We didn't even work on video. I would just, when he started to get his golf swing perfect, I had to work the idiosyncrasies back in because that's Michael. And I thought it was just a beautiful way to play golf. And he really enjoyed playing that way. It's hard to find a coach and only one voice in your head. All the tour players now have five coaches. They have a short game coach, a practice coach, a driver coach, a mental coach, and there's so a lot of people in their heads. Again, too much information. We've got to simplify and trust ourselves.
How many times have we heard a tour player come back from the abyss and you ask them, what do you do that was different? Oh, nothing. I just started playing like I did when I was a kid. That is so refreshing.
I made a comment about tour players trying to play like a kid. And it's not that they weren't trying to play golf like a kid. They were trying to think like a kid. And the reason that we like to think like a kid is kids are in the alpha state of brain waves. They're not in the beta state, which is high activity and learning a lot of stuff with a lot of stimuli. The alpha state is that state of grace that you talked about playing in. And that's what the tour players are looking for, is how can I let go and be in a state of grace and flow? And how do I get rid of That's the other thing, is that we really need to purge things out of our games instead of adding things in. And it's purging thought to get to the simplest essence of how we're going to play. It's not about adding a lot of information.
Yeah, I've never seen a player get better after he understood all his hack motion data, string catalyst data. I'm not saying that those things are wrong, but memorizing or understanding those numbers are not necessarily the pathway to lower scores. I think it's just a diagnostic tool, and you got to put things in its place. And I think a lot of people have basically put the cart before the horse, so to speak.
Well, once again, they're looking for that needle in the haystack, and that's a whole different world that I don't really want to get involved in. I want people to go out, and people that have played golf from point A say, wow, I enjoy the experience totally different than I used to. And yes, I like to shoot low scores, but even when the game isn't there, I can actually get rid of my tension and play in a state that I'm pleasant and I'm enjoying the process. And everybody's going to have good days and bad days because we're human, but we can go out and play golf from point A. We can play life from point A, do the very best you can with what you have right where you are.
Well said. How can people find you, Susie?
You can find me at Susie Myers Golf. That's my website. You can do a Google search, Susie Myers Golf, and read some of the reviews. You can find my book on Amazon, and you can email me through my website. And I do phone sessions. I've done that many times with people that have listened to me on different podcasts. And then we would always love to have you come out to Tucson, spend a day or two with me, and just enjoy the process of getting rid of everything that you don't need.
Thanks very much, Susie. Any last words from you, Jesse?
No, I've really enjoyed everything that you've said, Susie. I've enjoyed this conversation tremendously. And one last thing I will say, it's a bit of my opinion, but I think that we're on the right track. I think that this is the last frontier, if you will, is the mind and understanding the mind. And Susie, I'm glad that you're out here. You are a great voice coaching, in my opinion, the right things. It's really easy to get bogged down in the variables and the swing motion. But the great separator is the mind. All the great champions have demonstrated it. Whether they have played well in that particular day or poorly that particular day, they found a way to get the ball in the hole. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we want to get the ball in the hole the least amount of times and enjoy doing it and having a blast, having it be a fulfilling experience and not a depleting experience.
I totally agree. And we can make our own heaven or hell inside of ourselves. And that's why meditation is important, to allow ourselves to see who we are and who we want to be. And that's the big question, is who do I want to be when I go to play this game?
Thank you very much again for your time, Susie.
Yep. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you. I totally enjoyed it.